Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast. I am your co-host as usual, Andrew Baker, here with my co-host as usual, Graham Moen, and this is a Browns podcast. I have had several lovely Browns rants, but this time it's Graham's turn. Graham, you have the floor. Go ahead.
I don't want to do this here.
Go ahead.
It's just like, you know, watching the Browns, you know, coming into the season, there was so much expectations, and a lot of Browns fans had justifiable reasons behind them to think so, because Baker Mayfield had played so well last year. The offense looked good under Freddie Kitchens. And on top of that, the team was winning games, things that it had, something it had not done in the two seasons prior when they went and combined 1-31. So there was hope with this Browns team, along with adding more talented players. And this team looked like it was coming together well and playing well and got along well. And that was such a big part of the team chemistry. And then we get into the first game and it's like, all right, well, the Titans just played us better today. You know, it's just a fluke. The Browns will be fine. They lost 43-13. The next game, okay, well, they're playing the Jets, so we really have no idea how to judge how good they are. So they play the Jets, and they beat the Jets. Then they play the, what is it, the Rams, and they had a chance to win the game, and they just continuously struggled on offense. And at that point, that's when I started realizing, all right, this team, I don't think is going to be everything we thought it was going to be, because even already after three games, it wasn't looking good. Then in the fourth game they played, I think they it was the Ravens game, and that was by far their best game of the season, where they dominated the Ravens and won by essentially three scores, only a late score preventing that true score from showing, because it was 40-18 at one point, and it ended up being 40-25. Best game of the year they played by far. The offense looked good, defense looked good, and then after that Ravens game, it's just gone downhill from there. I mean, we got trucked by the 49ers. And then we barely lost to the Seahawks in a game that we should have won. And then after the bye week, we came and laid a complete dud against the Patriots, even though we played mistake-free football with it on offense and still couldn't get in the end zone four times. Four times they got in the red zone and had to settle for field goals. And that's going to kill you.
Let your anger out. You still have some in there.
No, at this point, as a Browns fan, I'm just at... I'm tired of being the fan that is like always going to back the team. You know, the team sucks right now. The team really sucks.
There you go. Keep going.
And if the team really wants to make the fans really believe in them, they need to start being more consistent. And I've said this so many times, it's starting to piss me off the amount of times I had to say consistency when they can't do anything to sustain any type of drives. Now that everyone knows that they're just going to give the ball to Nick Chubb because we realized that was the best play. Those third and ones were, they just give it to Nick Chubb with five people running at him and no play action, no deep passes. We've talked about this plenty of times. It's just like there's nothing that is making any upside for the Browns offense, which makes it even more infuriating to watch. And the defense just doesn't get any turnovers anymore. I mean, they were forcing a lot of turnovers and then all of a sudden they just haven't had nothing happen in their favor. Denzel Ward hasn't looked as good as he did last year. He's still good, but he's not as good. And then Greedy Williams has been fine, and then the other corners have been okay, but Demaryius Randall has barely played. When he hasn't made a great impact. And we lost Kirksey earlier in the season, and Mack Wilson's been shown flashes of being a good starting linebacker, but I don't think he's there yet because of his ability, just his rawness. He still has trouble reading the game sometimes, and he over-pursues. Which, speaking of over-pursuing, that defensive line, I'm sorry, this is going to be explicit. Holy shit, that defensive line cannot hold their gaps in any way, shape, or form. It is so fucking annoying. Every time they literally have a pass rush, they just don't contain it all and just let Brandon Allen run for like 15 yards. And it's just like, all right. Or screen passes go for like 50 yards every time. Like, anytime the Browns see a screen pass, we should all just be like, oh, well, there's at least 50 yards right there. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, from the Titans game to now, we got burned on screens. Starting at the season and where we are at now. It's just like, I don't know what else to say about this team. I mean, Baker's clearly regressed, and he either needs to just start playing better, and the system needs to have better play calling, or there needs to be a new play caller coming up soon, because it doesn't seem like Freddie is doing a good job of being consistent with the offense, nor leading the team as a head coach, frankly. I mean, not frankly, that's pretty much real. That's pretty much everyone's assumption of him at this point. And at this point, I don't know if there's really anything we can do to save his job,
because he'd have to pretty much win out, which at this, which if you're a Browns fan right now, do you really believe they're going to win out? Like, unless you're one of those really unreasonable Browns fans, do you really think we're going to win eight straight, including this week coming up against the Bills, where for some reason the Browns are favored? I mean, I get the Bills' schedule has been soft. They're 6-2, but like, why? Like, the Browns are not a good team. They're poorly coached. They still are having a lot of dumb penalties. Like, stop hitting the quarterback. Really? Just stop hitting the quarterback. Like, it's, we're tired of this shit. Really.
Oh, that was beautiful. Five and a half minutes in, and I will begin to speak now. I never thought I would enjoy not talking for the first 5.5 minutes of a podcast more. The Browns suck.
I feel right now like I did after that game you made me watch when I recorded it. It was the Browns-Ravens game. I think it was the year they went 1-15. Yeah, it was the year they went 1-15, and they got it blocked and had it returned for a touchdown to win the game. And I watched it all night.
Graham avoided seeing the score the entire day. And he came home and, like, we were down to Austin Davis, who was the third string quarterback. And he led a touchdown drive in the fourth quarter to tie it. And then he was leading this. It was this incredible comeback against a good team. And then as they kicked the field goal to win it, it got blocked and returned for touchdown. And I didn't tell Graham what was going to happen. I just watched his reaction. And that was the game that broke him. Yeah. And I think every year
it still holds me.
I would say that I was somewhat unbroken coming into this season. I've been broken for a long time, but I was somewhat unbroken coming into this season. And this last game against the Broncos was the game that finally broke me, because up until this point, you know, the Titans game, like you said, you could say, oh, it was the first game of the season. The Rams are good. The Seahawks are good. The Niners are good. You know, the Ravens game was there. They did show they could be a complete team for at least one game. And then you lose. And I've been telling you all year, you know, I've been saying it, the Denver game will be a relatively tough game because they have a pretty good defense. But
and you bet on them. How certain, dare you,
at a certain, at a certain point when they're down to their backup quarterback who's never taken a real NFL snap. And it just, look, man, there's just no excuses anymore. And the Browns are 2-6, and they've earned every bit of it. They're completely disorganized. They're completely – there's no discipline by the defensive line, like you said. There's no – you know, it's just penalties, and it's just coaching decisions. It's had it all. And Graham and I are not going to sit here and rehash this game play to play, and we're not going to sit here and say who's to blame again. We're kind of just here to say we've both reached the point where – we have no expectations at all. And like Graham said, I actually bet on the Browns to win this week. I got the Browns at +110, which means I would have bet $100 to win 110. I didn't put that much money down. By the end of the week, they were -200, which means you had to put 200 down to win 100. So I'm proud of myself for getting them when they were underdogs, when they became major favorites. But I'm not proud of myself for betting on the freaking Cleveland Browns, because clearly I should know better after all these years of telling you that you should have no expectations. But I thought maybe this year this team could be different, considering, oh, you know, all the brand new talent and actually having a quarterback and actually having a roster and the success they had last year. But
says
no,
the guy who did
no.
a 5-team tease this week.
Look, man, it is what it is. I think also, before the last few years, especially the Hugh Jackson era, have allowed myself to simply be entertained by
did
the
that
Browns.
Happen?
Yeah, this era is not looking a lot better. But I allowed myself to simply be entertained by the Browns, regardless of the result. Almost kind of laugh at the sadness. And I've now reached that point with this year's Browns team when the starting safety threatens people, threatens to shoot people, threatens to beat people up, you know, calls a bunch of people crackers. You just can't make it up, man. Like, you just can't make this crap up. Only the Browns.
Yeah, so for those
and,
who don't
and so
know what
many
he's
fans
talking
are
about,
so mad yeah. about it. And I get it, man, because this season was supposed to be different, but it's comical. And I have no more expectations for the rest of the season. The schedule is still soft. Vegas continues to respect the Browns. I think it's mostly because the Browns are kind of a popular team right now to talk about because of the expectations coming in. But so the Browns are 2-6, and they are facing the 6-2 Bills, and the Browns are 2.5-point favorites at home, which means on a neutral field, the Browns would only be a 0.5-point underdog to the Bills. ESPN's metrics gives the Browns a 9% chance of the playoffs, a 1 in 10 chance of winning 7 of our last 8 games, basically, or 8, maybe all 8. And, like, I'm sorry. I just don't – it just is ridiculous to me.
I'll sell my car if they win their last 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
– like, that's how confident I am.
I no longer see a realistic path to Freddie Kitchens keeping his job past this season. I just don't – you know, I know that this is his first year as a head coach and he may learn. I mean, he's going to learn today. Trust me, he's learned a lot already, I'm sure.
He's going to learn as an OC on someone else's team.
If he gets that high. If he
– Or he'll be a running back coach again.
I just don't see a path to him keeping his job. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out. I don't see any path to the Browns making the playoffs, obviously. Once again, maybe I'm wrong, but I doubt it. As a great man Charles Barkley once said, I may be wrong, but I doubt it. The 2019 Browns suck, just like the 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015, 2014, 2013, 2012, 2010, 2011, 2009, 2008 Browns. We suck, we've always sucked, and we still suck. We'll be back to talk about the Cavs. One more note. Do you guys know what year it was the last time the Browns won their division? I'll tell you, it was 1989. I was born in 1992, and I've been drinking age for 6 years. It's a pathetic lifestyle. A pathetic lifestyle. But we're back to talk about, kind of shockingly, a happier team, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are not good, but it's okay because they are...
We knew they were going to suck.
They are improved. They try hard. They do the right things on the court a lot of the times, and young players are growing, and it's, you know, I have been, the Cavs are very watchable, and I think that's, you know, on our season preview podcast, you and I pretty much both said, like, we don't have expectations for wins and losses, we don't have any playoff expectations, obviously, that's a dream, but we just wanted the Cavs to be better than last year, and we wanted them to have some type of system. And we wanted them to be watchable. And they have been shockingly watchable. What have been your kind of favorite things about watching the Cavs this year?
I mean, it's nice seeing Kevin Love playing well again and seeing him kind of regain some of that form he's had with us when he was playing with LeBron and Kyrie. I mean, he's averaging almost 19 a game along with 14 rebounds and 4 assists. I mean, that's almost his numbers. Maybe minus the scoring a little bit of what he was doing when he was with the Timberwolves.
One of our goals on our podcast, or one of my goals, was for Kevin Love to be an all-star. And if he doesn't get hurt, he's going to be an all-star.
My goal is for him to be an all-star and to get traded away from this place so he doesn't have to deal with the losing. Maybe Portland or something, but we'll see. But anyway, I mean, Kevin Love has been a really good player to watch. I mean, Sexton, he's averaging a lot of points, but he's really missing a lot of shots. I mean, he's still shooting okay from three. I think he's shooting like 37% from three, so he's still showing that capability from last year, but at the same time he's really not good in his shot selection, and he has, like Andrew told me before the podcast, really no playmaking ability whatsoever.
He just doesn't see the floor at all. The Cavs are 2-5, to be clear.
Yeah, so they're not good.
But for example, last night they lost to the Celtics. They lost at home. When it came down to the last 2 minutes, the Cavs were down somewhere between like 4-12 almost the entire game. They just kept coming back. They could not get over the top. And it's, you know, again, losing right now is probably still best for the Cavs. They can have better odds in this year's lottery because I think they still need at least one more major young piece going forward. But the Cavs last year, I think, would have lost that game by 20. Or maybe even more than that. And the Cavs this year have been a really resilient team. They have not gotten blown out much at all. There was a Bucks loss, but beyond that,
the Mavs loss.
Even the Mavs loss was...
They lost by 20.
They lost by 20, but even that was like a 4-point game late in the third quarter, and the Cavs were down 15 at one point. They fought all the way back.
Yeah, and then Dallas promptly scored 41 points in the fourth
quarter. Well, Luka Doncic happens, you know? But the Cavs have been, I think, for me... Beyond growth in young players, which we can discuss individual players in a moment here, but I think, you know, John Beilein was a pretty big question mark coming into the season, considering it's his first time ever being an NBA coach, much less an NBA head coach.
Sure.
But I think so far I am really impressed with the job he's doing with the team, because his kind of system and his attitude of coaching from college has really translated so far. And I think... Having a young team helps, but also I think having guys like Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and Matthew Dellavedova, who are all buying in. I don't, you know, those guys aren't rolling their eyes at Beilein coming in and say, hey, we're going to pass the ball and we're going to play hard. You know, I don't think that, I think those guys are really open to the leadership. And I think they're seeing that, you know, there is a vision for this team and the ball is moving and you can see Beilein, you know, he's a teacher of the game and he's a motivator and he's someone that, you know, really strives to have high character players on his roster. And I think if you're looking at the Cavs right now, in general, they're playing really hard. They're trying to make the right play. They're playing for their teammates and they're moving the ball. And I think last year, so often we just saw, you know, solo ball where there's just no passing. And
it was like Sexton one-on-one.
Oh, it was just horrible. And you mentioned Kevin Love. I think we've been looking for years to see Kevin Love featured as a passer out of the post and featured as kind of a fulcrum of the offense. And with the ball moving a lot more, you know, a lot more cutting around him, we're really seeing that Kevin Love still has a lot of these skills. And
yeah.
And Kevin Love's not going to be a 20-point, you know, 25-point, 15-rebound guy like he was in his prime, but he's still a really good player. And it's been really fun to see, you know, the system kind of forming around him as the center part of the centerpiece of the offense. And I'm really, really encouraged by John Beilein so far as a coach, and a lot more encouraged than I thought it would be, especially this early.
I mean, I think Kevin Love playing well is good for him because he could really, like I've said, I really think he could be the missing piece to a lot of teams that are looking to contend because of his ability to shoot and pass and do things for others. I mean, his rebounding is elite. He's one of the best defensive rebounders still in the league. I mean, I don't think you see many people come down with as many boards to stop possessions as he does.
The Cavs are a legitimately good rebounding team. They are one of the better.
Well, when you have Thompson and Love, I mean, those two are great rebounders, one on the offensive end and one on the defensive end. But even Thompson is still getting 7 a game on top of his typical 4.6 offensive rebounds. So that's actually probably a little bit down from what he usually did when he was in his prime. So, I mean, the Cavs are really are averaging 46 rebounds a game, only about 22 assists a game. So that they're still working on the kinks, but I think Beilein and the team have really clicked in terms of how they are aligned in the same goal and are able to get through the season and kind of, you know, have a vision for this team going forward just besides this this season, because there's a lot of young players, including Garland, who's been pretty shaky.
It's been really encouraging for me to see the team have kind of a cohesive system and a central focus in mind. And it's just made the Cavs so much more watchable. And again, they're going to lose a lot of games, and that's by design, if not just by the fact that LeBron left a void when he left, of course. But, you know, you mentioned Garland. Garland and Sexton, to me, are probably the two players in the team that haven't really progressed a lot. And maybe Jetty Osman as well. I mean, Thompson's been great. Love has been great. Larry Nance has been solid. He continues to shoot the three ball better and better. And that's going to be important if he wants to actually get minutes, because he's not really a center in the NBA. He would get tossed around. So if he wants to get real NBA minutes going forward, he is going to have to start making threes. He's 37%, small sample size this year. But that's a big improvement on last year, which was a big improvement on anything before that. And I think that, you know, you're talking about Garland. He's not been good, first of all. I'll say that. I think the thing about Garland that surprises me so far is he's been very tentative on offense. And I think coming into the year, we were thinking of him as kind of a sharp-shooting, kind of slashing type of player who was, you know, definitely able to get his own shot. That was the thing coming in with him. And I think perhaps he has been trying to fit into the team a little bit too much, maybe. I think that he's shown pretty strong ability to pass the ball, which is really encouraging for me, because I wasn't sure how the fit was going to go with Garland and Sexton to shoot first guards. But Garland's actually been kind of a pass first guard this year. And I don't think that's his role, you know, when he becomes kind of solidified as an NBA player. But I think it is encouraging to see him make a lot of good reads and make the right pass a lot of times. And you know, he's turning it over a lot, of course, because what do you expect from a rookie? But that's been encouraging. I think, you know, I think his offensive skills are still there. I think he's still a good, you know, driver. I think he's still got a chance to be a really, really good shooter. I think that he's kind of just finding his way in terms of how he fits in with the team, how he runs John Beilein's system. And it's obvious that John Beilein has stressed to his guards and everyone on the roster, the ball has to keep moving. You can't catch the ball and just stop the offense and go one-on-one. Move the ball, move the ball, move the ball. Everyone will get easier looks. So I think that there's been a pretty major adjustment for Garland because, again, this guy played four games in college, and in those four games, he was by far the best player on his team. And in high school, I'm sure it was, you know, far and away the best player on the team.
Yeah.
So I've been relatively encouraged. Sexton, on the other hand, you know, I think Sexton's going to pretty much cap out here as like a
sixth man.
As a sixth man, or a, maybe not an ideal starter, but someone that can start for you.
He's kind of like Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, he's not. The defense, I don't think, has improved a lot for Sexton. He did add weight, which is important, so he's not getting pushed around quite as much. But he, like you said, there's no passing instincts whatsoever.
Yeah.
And his three-point shooting has been solid, and that's been a major thing that he's improved on since he came out of college. I think his defense has improved a little bit this year with that added weight. But the playmaking aspect has been really slow to come. But last year, he improved a lot throughout the season. So I still have some hope that he can kind of improve throughout this season.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of does nothing else throughout the game except score.
Have you seen much positive out of Kevin Porter at all?
When the games I've watched, he's only played a little bit. And when he plays, I mean, he looks athletic, but at the same time, he kind of looks lost and raw out there. So I feel like he could use some time, just more time developing. Or if they wanted him to play, they could send him to Canton to play for the Charge. So that way he could get some more experience. But I would say the way he's playing, I think Dylan Windler, when he comes back from injury, could probably go ahead, get some of those minutes so they can at least see what they have in him. And on top of that, they should play Alphonso McKinney more since they're short on wings, because they should also see what they have in him. He did play for the Warriors, so he did get some good coaching there as well. So I think he would be able to come in and at least be a professional basketball player for us.
Yeah, I agree 100% on everything you just said. I think that Porter Jr. has really struggled. I will say that I think he's gone out there, and I think he's tried to play the right way. He has, you know, passed the ball more than I thought he would. He's tried hard on defense, but he's just not ready to be an NBA player. I've been encouraged in the sense that he seems to understand what the coaching staff wants, and he's tried to execute that. I think that's encouraging, considering he was, you know, a score-first player, shoot-first player in college. But like you said, he's really, really struggled on both ends of the floor. I do think some time in Canton would help him. Maybe, you know, even just to get his confidence back up. But, you know, he was drafted as a project, and we all knew that it was going to be a lot of time before he was a legit NBA player. That's okay. I've been encouraged by what I've seen, despite how bad he's been. I think you're right about Windler. Windler's a lot more NBA ready. He's a lot more NBA ready, considering he's a far more experienced college player, and he does have that shooting. He should be back next week at some point. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Porter Jr. go down to the D League when he comes back. Alphonso McKinney got real minutes for the first time this season last night against the Celtics. He looked okay. I think Alphonso McKinney might be one of those guys who just isn't good enough at any one thing to really be, you know, much of an NBA player. But like you said, he's played in the playoffs before, high stress environments with the Warriors. You know, Steve Kerr, when the Warriors cut him, had a lot of nice things to say about his character and how he plays the game. Now, that said, they also did cut him with a roster that doesn't have a lot of talent on it. But I do think
– I bet they wish they had him back now.
I do think tossing him out there for some minutes while Porter Jr. kind of gets some minutes in the G League would definitely be a smart idea.
Just play McKinney like 15 minutes a game, 15 to 18, to see what you have. Because who knows, maybe he can just be like a decent like role player for
sure. Him. Yeah. I want to give a shout-out to Jordan Clarkson. He's been really good this year.
He's
really been – it seems like – again, I think Beilein's influence is really evident here. He's been making the right choice in terms of move the ball or, you know, drive. And then even once he drives, you know, he's made some more creative passes than I think he has before. But he's really increased his efficiency this year. He's shooting, you know, he's really shooting well, especially on drive to the hoop. And overall, you know, like I said, I'm just really encouraged by the Cavs. You know, we have no idea what this team's ceiling is going to be, considering – we have like maybe two or three of the long-term pieces here. But I think Beilein to me looks like a really good coach for a young team. And I think seven games in, having the team playing the right way, having Kevin Love put up numbers, having some other guys that could be traded like Thompson putting up some numbers.
Or Clarkson.
Yep. I think, you know, the more those guys play better, the more value the Cavs can get for them in a trade. Or the more that maybe one or two of those guys can stick around as kind of a veteran leader on this team going forward, especially maybe Thompson. But, yeah, I'm encouraged, man. You know, all you wanted to see this year was young players develop, see if Beilein can kind of create his own system and see just kind of steady improvement. And I'm really encouraged. Is there anything else you want to say with Cavs?
No, I mean, I they've definitely caught my attention more this year than they have last year. They were last year because they were pretty much atrocious to watch last year, most games, especially when Kevin Love was out. So.
It is the first week of November, and the Browns and the Cavs had the same amount of wins.
Isn't that great?
It's not great. We will be back next week with another Browns podcast. Maybe it'll be less angry this time. Maybe it won't be.
Maybe it'll be just as angry.
Maybe we just skip it all together. Yeah. We'll find out. Please check out treecityrecords.com, Tree City Records on Twitter. Check out at @abaker_sports. That's my Twitter. Check out Graham's Twitter at @GTMOHAN. Check out more Red and Blue podcasts coming soon.
Yep, they'll be coming up this probably this early next week because I have something I have to go to this weekend. But we'll be
honestly, how dare you have something to go to this weekend?
I have to go to Kentucky for a board meeting. I'm sorry, but we will be back to give you some more takes on the Premier League happening and with some of the Champions League games that have been played this week. We'll give you a recap on that as well.
Tell Mitch McConnell he's literally the devil. Like. He's literally the worst human being in the world.
Why? Anyways, me.
All right. We will talk to you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace.